This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Good morning. I'm Dwayne Olson, your host today for Education Matters on WGTD HD, Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin, at 91.1 on your FM dial, and 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva. WGTD is a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio Network. Before we begin, I want to indicate that this program was recorded earlier this week. Our program today focuses on the activities and concerns of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association and its members. This local organization of retired educators is a member of the Wisconsin Retired Educators Association, WREA, and has its headquarters in Middleton, Wisconsin. By the way, Gateway Technical College also has a chapter of the WREA. For further information on WREA, please go to its website, wrea.net. Okay, and wrea.net is in lowercase letters. My guests today are three of the leaders of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association: Chet Melcher, president; Carolyn Gibson, memorials chair and a past president of RAREA; and Jeff Rasmussen, membership chair of RAREA, and soon to be vice president of the organization. And in the interest of full disclosure, I am currently vice president of this organization. Welcome to this edition of Education Matters. To get started today, why don't each of you introduce yourselves by indicating what you consider to be your hometown, where you went to college, how you got to Racine Unified, and that sort of thing. So, Chad, I guess we'll start with you since you're the president of this organization.
Good morning, Dwayne. I want to thank you on behalf of the organization for having us on the radio this morning, organization that we're all extremely proud of. A little bit about me. I grew up in the southwest corner of the state, over in the mining area where the Badger State name first came into play. Actually, worked in those mines to get through college.
Ooh.
The little town of Shelsburg, went to school there from first grade and through high school. No kindergarten in those days, Dwayne.
I didn't have kindergarten either.
From there, went to UW-Platteville. And Platteville, very close to Shelsburg, picked up a bachelor's there, majored in the sciences, major in biology, and then in education. Also, I had a minor in English. For a master's degree, UW-Whitewater, that's while I was teaching. And in 1971 is when I graduated and then came to Racine. Reason to come here, my wife had a sister who lived here with her husband and family, and they suggested, hey, why not apply here? Checking out the school district, it was the quality of education in Racine Unified was very, very highly touted in those days. So those were pretty much my choices of why I came to Racine to be.
Racine was in its heyday then in the early 70s then, wasn't it? Because I came in 73.
Must have been.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yes, it was.
Next is Carolyn Gibson. Carolyn.
Good morning. Well, I was raised on a farm in South Dakota. It's the northeastern corner of the city that we were closest to was Redfield. I went to first through sixth grade, a country school, and then the area reorganized, and I went into Redfield for junior high and high school, and got my degree, or my high school graduation from Redfield. I then went to St. Olaf College and got a bachelor's degree there, and I graduated in '67, and at that time, all of the personnel directors were coming to the colleges to hire because there was such a great need for for teachers, and when I came that year, there were 300 new teachers in Racine.
300?
And there were 300 the next year also, and then it went down from there. But, 300. And then through my teaching years, about 10 years later, I got a master's from University of Whitewater.
Okay. And so your entire career then was in Racine
Unified
as a teacher.
Yes, 35 years.
A music teacher.
Mm-hmm. 35 years, yes.
Okay. And I think some of my kids had you as a teacher at
Redland
Elementary.
I had your daughter.
Yeah, that's right. And
I had all of Chet's kids.
there you go.
And Duane, I had a son and a daughter. Here's
two of mine. Okay, yes. So that's good. They got good educations. Okay, and our final guest here is Jeff Rasmussen. Jeff?
Good morning. I'm from Racine. Attended St. Catherine's High School. Went on to Dominican College, where I graduated in 1973 with a teaching degree, majoring in English and minoring in secondary education. And how did I land in Unified?
Yes.
Well, I was one of the fortunate ones who was given a teaching internship the second semester of my senior year of college.
Through the Wisconsin Improvement Program?
Yeah. So I was able to spend a whole semester at that time at Gifford, when it was a junior high school, where I taught speech, drama, and English. And even luckier for me, at the end of the school year, one of the ninth grade team members took a different position in the building, and I was hired on full-time then with the district. That would be the beginning of the 1973-74 school year.
Okay, and that internship you had was a paid internship,
it
right?
It was. I taught three classes per day, and was actually paid.
To my knowledge, that program still exists. I don't know to what extent Parkside might be participating, but I think it still exists. Okay. That takes care of our back. And interesting, all three of you had your full careers then in Racine Unified. I had an interesting career. I started out in southern Iowa, and the school lasted 1 year, and then it was closed by the state because it was a very small school. We had 100 kids, K-12.
Oh.
In fact, I don't even remember whether we had K or not. And we had 31 kids in high school, and I was a high school teacher, and I was in charge of the junior class and so on. And then I went on to the neighboring school district where I lived, Lenox, Iowa, and I was there 3 years. And I went to a suburb of Des Moines, Ankeny, Iowa, was there 8 years, and then on to Iowa State for 3 years, and then at UW-Parkside. I finished my career at UW-Parkside in teacher education. So it's kind of interesting, the different kinds of backgrounds that educators bring. But I always look at that as being very enriching for kids, because kids need to run into people with different kinds of backgrounds, because then we can help those kids understand sort of where they fit into the world. Anyone else want to comment there? Okay, and my next question was about having you tell our listeners somewhat briefly about your careers in Racine Unified. Let's start with Carolyn, then. We'll kind of do it that way.
Yes, I started out here as a music helping teacher. And in those days, there were no music, art, or PE specialists. So I was always teaching children, but it was more of a demonstration type job, because I would teach the kids and the teachers would observe and hopefully follow through, because they had to do their own teaching of music, art, and PE.
So you were helping the regular classroom teachers,
yes,
the non-music teachers, learn how to teach music.
Yes, exactly. Because there were two of us. And when I came, there were 33 elementary schools in Racine. And so I had about 15, and the other gal had about 15. And so that I did that job for 10 years. And then there was also an all-district elementary choir that drew kids from all of the different elementary schools. Then in about 1976, they started hiring specialists for the schools, and at that point I went to Goodland Elementary, and I was there for 16 years, and then also the music helping teacher position went down once there were more, you know, specialists in each of the schools. And then my last 9 years, I spent at Stephen Bull Fine Arts Elementary. And so I did 35 years.
There with Racine Unified.
Yes.
Very good. Okay, Jeff Rasmussen.
38 years with the district. I taught for 16 at Gifford Junior High School and then Gilmore Middle School. And I spent 22 years as a principal. I was an assistant at Gilmore and just at Agerholm Middle Schools, and then the directing principal at Starbuck Middle School for 3 years, and ended my 38-year career with the district, 13 years as principal of Roosevelt Elementary on the north side of Racine.
Okay, so you had administration in there as well as the yes. teaching experience. And finally then, on this round, Chad.
Dwayne, I was in the district for 33 years, so they both have me beat here, hands down. I taught for 13 years, and that was middle school science and high school biology. And then I was went to central office. In those days, we had directors for different content areas, and I was the director of science for the district. And also, at the end of that time, also dealt with assessment as well. I did have a second career, though, after I left the district.
Yes.
I was an associate professor down at Carthage College for 7 years, and my duties included being the director of student teaching and the certification officer for the college. So
not only did you get to practice teaching, but you got to then move and to help other students finish their teaching careers and move on into their teaching careers.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And
I still do a bit of supervising of different state universities and different colleges. If they have someone in this area that's out of their own area, will ask me to supervise student teachers down here. So still keep going out to schools in that capacity and enjoy doing that very much.
That's really wonderful, too, one of the questions I didn't ask was, did you substitute and so forth after you finished your careers? Carolyn, did you sub?
Yes, briefly. The first year I didn't do any subbing. The second year I did only at, like, fine arts school where I had been and knew the children. And I also did some at Gifford, which is where my sister taught. And I, you know, helped her out if she was ever in need of a sub. And then in another instance, I filled in for a music teacher that was doing a half-time position when she was unable to because of health reasons. And then I think about the fourth or fifth year out, I haven't done any since. So
okay.
It was very minimal.
Okay. Jeff, did you do any subbing?
I did about 2 years after I retired as an administrator, primarily going to elementary schools to fill in when we had six.
And I think that's required of administrators in Racine Unified, isn't
it,
when they retire at that time?
I don't know if it is now.
But it was then. Okay. So, well, I went back to Parkside for a couple stints then, too, after I retired. And in the last stint that I had was a month too long. I knew I was ready to retire completely then when that was in process. So now let's move on and talk about this organization that we all belong to and provide leadership for. Let's talk about the Racine Area Retired Educators Association. Chet, you're the president of this group. So what is or are the purposes of RAREA?
Dwayne, I'm prepared for you. I thought you might ask this question, so I brought our bylaws along.
Lucky and people, lucky
Article
audience.
2 says purposes. So, and I was talking with Jeff and with Carolyn, and it's, you have your organization, you have these bylaws that are created, and ours is a longstanding organization, but I think we all agreed, well, we're doing a good job on what it is that it says we're supposed to do. And
there you
not
go.
Not that we're that surprised, but anyway, let me share with you. The purpose of the organization shall be to promote the interests, rights, and welfare of the retired educators of Racine by one, providing a means to have a unified voice in local, state, and national matters affecting welfare of our members of public education. The idea here is, and we are affiliated with the WREA, there's a lot of legislation that goes on that definitely affects education in general and retirees in specific.
Right.
And so through that organization, we do have an advocate. Not advocate, what do I want to say?
A lobbyist.
A lobbyist, yeah, that's when I said that word. We do have a lobbyist, and the local level, we try to stay involved as well, get word out to our members in regard to issues that are hot, to make contacts either locally or at the statewide level to deal with things that are coming down. So the idea of state and local and national matters. Second thing is to a way to obtain legislation on matters favorable to retired educators. I would not be honest if I didn't say one thing we looked carefully at is what's going on with the pension and any kind of matters that would deal with that. We are definitely in
tune with retirement issues. Yeah,
that is correct. Yes, and the last we do a real good job with promoting the spirit of fellowship, maintaining old friendships, and satisfying the need of social contact. So that's our three purposes, as pronounced in our bylaws. So
does anyone want to add to that then?
I think everybody enjoys the social aspect of our organization. We meet usually every other month, so it's about six times a year that we have luncheons and do various. We have speakers that come. We have a couple times a year we have entertainment, like usually in December at our luncheon we have a vocal group from Racine Unified provide entertainment for us, and we've also had special things entertainment-wise at our annual meeting, which is August or September.
Okay. And Jeff, do you want to add anything to what the organization does?
Well, I could talk a little bit about membership.
Sure. All right, okay, that's the out. Let's go on to that.
We have approximately 430 members at this time, and they're not just from Racine. They come from Racine, Burlington, outlying areas such as Kansasville, Waterford, Union Grove, Kenosha, and as far away as Mesa, Arizona, and even some people who maintain memberships who are residing in Florida. So
these are our retirees from Unified.
These are retirees from, a lot of them from Unified, yes, the majority. Our members range in age from 55 to 105.
Okay.
And our 105-year-old member is Henrietta Welch. Many people listening may remember Henrietta. For many years, she was the vocal music teacher at Starbuck Junior High School. In fact, she retired in 1979, so she's been an RAREA member for almost 40 years, and that's more years than I worked for the district. She doesn't make it to the meetings, but she did up until recently. In fact, I think we celebrated her 100th birthday 5 years ago at one of our meetings. So we have programs, as Carolyn alluded to. Our members are very well-rounded. They appreciate all sorts of topics and the entertainment that we provide at our meetings. We have musical groups. We've had an Elvis impersonator, theater guild. We discuss health issues, educational topics. Again, pension info. Recently, the director of the zoo was at one of our meetings to give a presentation. So it's very varied. And as Carolyn said, people really do enjoy coming to the six meetings that we have during the course of the year. And a meal is always associated with that. We're always looking for new members, and we are open to retirees from public school systems, teachers, assistants, clerical staff, administrators, support personnel. Sometimes I think people think we're only for teachers, you know, educators, but as I mentioned, clerical people, educational assistants, support personnel, are all welcome to join the group. Anyone who's been involved in Wisconsin public education.
You even took me in.
Yes, we did take you in.
That's all.
And since you're going to be president next year, that was a good thing we did there, taking you in.
Yes, I think so, too.
But people can learn more about the organization. We do have a Facebook page, Racine Area Retired Educators Association, which is always jam-packed, full of news and happenings. They can contact me at my email, which is jel907@aol.com, or you can call me at 262-639-5539. We're currently having our membership drive because we do begin our new year in September. We'll be having our welcome back brunch and meeting and program on September 6th at Infocino's. So if you're out there listening and are interested in information or joining RAREA, you may get in contact with me and I will send information to you via the mail or even electronically. We can send you information and a membership form.
Okay, why don't you repeat your email address?
Okay, the email address is jel907@aol.com.
Okay, and so the organization is receptive to receiving new members, and one of the things that the state organization is interested in is establishing chapters of the organization in other districts, so like if Burlington or other school districts would be interested in starting, that would be most welcome.
And I don't think some of those outlying communities, Western Racine County, at this time actually have their own chapter. I know Kenosha does, but we are more than welcoming as far as people from Burlington, Waterford, Union Grove to join our organization.
So Kenosha does
Kenosha does have their own, but that's why we are Racine Area, because we encompass the county.
Okay, and then I did mention earlier that Gateway Technical College has their own Retired Educators Association, and let me give you their website just in case you're interested in, and it's going to the Gateway Technical website, and then from there, it's all lowercase, www.gtc.edu/groups/GTCREA. So that is the Gateway Technical College Retired Educators Association, and you could just Google that as well. So
if I may, yes. I've had a chance to meet the president of the Gateway Group. He's extremely dedicated. If you're a part of a Gateway retiree, I think that'd be he's asked to come to our meetings. I've seen him at the state district meeting. For the WREA.
Is that Jim Stills?
Yes, it
okay.
is. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I really think that's, for Gateway, a potential for a very vibrant organization with him there and the numbers that we're talking about. I want to interrupt once more.
Sure.
If I can go back again, we started talking about programs.
Yes.
And we can keep listing them. I mean, as far as what our members like, it's really a variety of things, and we try to supply that. Our next one is going to be with a weatherman from a Milwaukee TV station, and he's a unified product, and so we try to do that. Jeff had an author in before who was from Racine and the book about Racine. Father Dom we've had our own superintendent of schools, a DPI rep. Another program later in the year is going to be from a daughter of one of our members who walked the whole Appalachian Trail. And so we try to keep some things local. We've had Miss Racine. But one thing I really want to talk about is our scholarship program. And we in June will have, and have had for the many years, a luncheon where we honor those receiving scholarships. Our members have done a fantastic job of we have a scholarship fund that we can fund. At this time, we do five, and looking to expand it to a sixth one, adding a Parkside student besides the students coming out of Racine Unified that we're funding. So to hats off to Tom Fugate and his committee who work with that, and all of our members who did, the support is absolutely phenomenal for that scholarship fund. And we are very proud to be able to take a look at people who are going into the profession that we think so highly of and help them out financially in doing that. So.
And if anyone's interested, then be sure then contact your high school counselors then about the scholarship, because we're very receptive to getting as many applications as we can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there, that will happen again next year, so we'll have the word out.
Anyone want to add anything to that? Any other activities that we are involved in? One of the things I like is every once in a while the publicity group puts an ad in the paper then complimenting the district or identifying, the opening of school or that sort of thing. And I think that's good public relations then as far as Racine Unified is concerned. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Another thing that we do a lot with is volunteer hours. We many of our retired teachers are very big contributors to our community with various organizations in the volunteer hours that they give. And each year, the WREA wants to know the amount of time that our organization collectively has done. And so that's another thing that gets determined.
Okay, that's a project then of the state organization, and now they're in the process of asking local members then to fill
Correct.
Out the forms.
Yes.
And again, Duane, that is statewide. So the state organization tells us that it usually comes out to be approximately $5 million worth of community service hours performed statewide by Wisconsin retired educators on a yearly basis.
Oh, okay. Why don't you tell our listeners then the kinds of things that you are involved in terms of volunteering? I think that's a question that I have down there. So what are you including on your list of voluntary contributions this year? And obviously, church activities are one, social organizations and so on.
I volunteer at St. Monica's when our parish does bingo parties.
Okay.
And I also have gone back since I've been retired from Roosevelt Elementary. I've worked on a lot of their PTA activities, namely the fall corn roast and their spring carnival.
Wonderful.
So I donate my time to Roosevelt.
Carolyn?
Well, I do a lot of volunteer work at my church, and I am not presently doing this, but I did volunteer for quite a few years at the Racine Zoo with various things.
Okay. Chad?
I do a lot for this organization.
Yeah, there you go.
Which is true with the others
I
as
agree.
Well. Here. Also, probably the primary one is I do help with things with the food pantry at the Lutheran church in town here. And but it's a variety of things our members do. We didn't mention anything. Well, you had some things educational, but many of them volunteer in our schools at Racine Unified, too. And I think that's probably the majority of the hours that are spent there.
In fact, at our next meeting, we're going to have someone there that can answer questions about the Schools of Hope program.
Yes.
Which I believe is under the auspices of the United Way of Racine County.
Right.
So that's another example of retirees going into the schools and helping youngsters read.
Okay. And I do some meals through my church, then at St. Patrick's Church and at a Lutheran church, then that our church sponsors once a month. And I do the one at St. Patrick's particularly. And then another group that I'm involved with is the Kid First Fund, which was started by Bill Boyd over 20 years ago. And we have funds then in the Racine Community Foundation that the interest on then is available then for teachers for special projects for their students in Racine Unified. And last year we probably gave, you know, some $30,000 to Racine Unified teachers in that particular way. So there's all a variety of organizations that people can contribute to, and retired teachers seem to be very good at making those kinds of contributions. So at this point, then, I want to remind our listeners that this is your host, Dwayne Olson, and you're listening to Education Matters on WGTD HD at 91.1 on your radio dial from Gateway Technical College, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Today, I am visiting with several leaders of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association. They are Chet Melcher, President, Carolyn Gibson, Memorials Chair and Past President, and Jeff Rasmussen, Membership Chair of RAREA, and soon to be Vice President of the organization. Now back to our program. So let's move away now then from RAREA and WREA and talk about education more broadly and philosophically and how that changed during the courses of your careers. So what do you see as the biggest changes in education during your careers?
Jeff, well, I definitely you want to start? Think the advent of technology in the classroom has got to be number one. When I first started teaching, and I taught an eighth grade accelerated English class, the students were required to write a term paper. And yes. We were still writing out note cards, annotated bibliographies. We were using the card catalog in the library.
Yes.
We were looking through periodicals in the magazine section, reading other books in order to accumulate the knowledge for the contents of the paper. And I think if I were to go into a classroom today and have to teach writing a term paper, I would have to go back to school myself to learn all of the ways research is done and how the papers are put together in a technological age. So that's quite different today.
Okay. Carolyn, what do you see as a big change then from your education over your career?
Well, I know now, same thing technology-wise. In music, elementary students, as I understand, really don't have books at all anymore. Everything's done from the whiteboard or the screen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so, again, there's so many advances with technology. We used records yet back in my day. And
they're coming back.
They're coming back. Yes. So there's many changes that way, especially in any subject area that you're working in.
Okay. Chad?
Let me comment on the technology. I found it interesting working with student teachers for the last 10 years. And I also taught at Carthage a methods class for anybody who was a chemistry, a physics, or a biology major who was going to go into teaching. And I could put in that class what I want. One of the things was technology, smart board technology, whatever. I found that the student teachers going out more often taught or progressed the regular teachers in the classroom regarding technology. So sometimes it came from the bottom up rather than the top down. So it was interesting as far as technology. When you ask about changes, the biggest thing I've seen change, I won't talk about in the classroom, but where I grew up, little town, and public school system, the whole community was behind it. It probably should consolidate now. I doubt if it ever will, because that's the center of the community.
Yes.
And every leader in that community took their turn being on the school board, the local doctor, okay. And now I don't see that kind of a whole community support out there, and it's somewhat disheartening to me, to be very honest with you. More of an attitude of, well, I don't have any kids there anymore. And it's sad because, like I said, where I came from, that was the center of that whole, and all of the activities in that community centered around that school as well. And so it's a big change from small town little me here compared to what I see going on.
But is your
education on a local level and on a state level, yes.
Is your hometown, though, does it have that same approach today as it did then?
Yes.
Or do you see that having been abandoned?
No, I see it there as well. And when I came to Racine, it was that way.
Yes.
One of the vice presidents at Johnson's Wax at that time was the president of the school board. And there was tremendous involvement from the community with and leaders in the community with Racine Unified.
Okay. And in terms of my looking back on my career, certainly this technology business is certainly very, very important. And one of the things I think about technology is it needs to be used appropriately, and sometimes it gets used inappropriately. I think back when I was teaching high school that we had one coach then, every Friday was movie day because he was working on his football game coaching and so forth for that evening, and certainly that was inappropriate use of technology, and I'm sure that could happen today as well. I think the demands on teachers today are incredibly greater almost than they were when I was a teacher, and it's because we're looking at this mental health issue it seems to be such an issue in our society today. And Alan Borsuk wrote about this in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this past Sunday, and that's a whole area of teaching, dealing with kids I had never thought of in terms of my teaching career that I can remember. And then I also think the need for high-quality schools. Schools have to be high quality because you don't know where that kid is going to go in this world, you know, whether he will be, you know, an ambassador sometime, a politician, leading a major company, whatever it is. People need basic skills and high-quality basic skills, and so those have to continue. I think they are continuing. Anything else that anyone wants to add to this business of how school has changed since we were there?
Well, I think another thing that I saw happening towards the end of my 38 years, there was kind of a waning of parental support. Now, granted, you know, I think people today in general are just busier than ever. You have more people who are more kids coming from a family structure where both parents are out there working.
Yes.
And for parents to make time to be involved like they used to be in the 50s and 60s with their kids' education, I think is more difficult. Not to say that there aren't parents who are able to do that, but if we could just get parents to realize how important that support is from the first time the child steps foot into a classroom, that support really is needed.
And we're probably products of a culture where mom was at home when we went to school, but that isn't the case in most families today. And so then it makes it even more difficult for parents then working with their children, educating their children. Any other thoughts here in terms of this issue?
I think the teacher respect is quite a bit different than when I went to school. It's difficult to pinpoint.
But, yes.
You know, when I went to school, it was like the teacher was very respected. And,
yes.
And if you got in trouble with that teacher, you're going to be twice as much in trouble at home.
When you got home,
yeah.
Exactly.
And I think that's been hard to deal with, and that is a big problem today, I think, at our schools.
Okay, and that's a product of our culture, I think.
Yes,
you know,
definitely.
The changes in our culture and that sort of thing. Let's move on to another idea here. In the most recent school board election in Racine Unified, a former educator, Jane Barbian, was elected to the school board, and Mike Frontier, a former principal in Unified, continues as a member of Racine Unified School Board. If you were to run for and be elected to the Racine School Board, what would be your major concerns and why? I got to spend 4.5 years on the school board in the early 90s, and that certainly was an interesting experience in democracy and being an elected person.
And God bless you for that, Duane. Who would, in their right mind, would want to be on the school board today? Not I.
If I were younger, I might, consider it. But I'm not that, and I'm not young anymore. And so. But it was a very interesting educational experience. It certainly broadened my understanding of what education is.
And more importantly, how the whole thing runs.
Yes.
I really think that our school board should emphasize all the more the positive things that really do go on in the district, because, there really are a lot of positive things
exactly.
happening in Unified. Somehow, it seems that we get into this rut where all we're hearing about are the negative things. And there are so many positive things that are happening. We have good students. They're talented kids. Music, theater, sports, academics, they're there. And they do a good job, and they get a darn good education. And I think we can't lose sight of that.
Anyone else want to run for school board here?
Well, you put that in the wrong way. Your question basically said, what would you do if you were someone who got on the board? And I think I would have. I mean, all of the things about buildings and grounds, all of the things about curriculum. Yeah, a board is going to take those up. But I'd like to see a board go one more step, any board member or board entity. Right now, I don't feel the state's being held accountable for its actions. The funding mandates that they push down, but then there's no way to have the funding for them.
Yes.
Special education mandates, I think of in particular there. The effect of vouchers and what that has done. Where do you think the money for those vouchers came from? It came out of the Racine Unified Funds, in the case of Racine. And some of those students were sent back to Unified, but the voucher school keeps the money, and it's legal to do that. So how can the state put this kind of a structure in place and, basically hardly anyone knows about it? So I think that kind of letting a community know why the situation is what it is because of legislation, because of decisions at the state level, would be a key thing for any board member.
Okay, and on that note, then, I think we have to come to a close. Or to our radio audience, we say thank you for being with us today as we visited with several leaders of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association. They are Chet Melcher, president, Carolyn Gibson, Memorials Chair and a past president of RAREA, and Jeff Rasmussen, membership chair of RAREA. Thanks to you and the members of the Racine Area Retired Educators Association for their contributions to educating the children of our community, and I wish you well in your retirement. Finally, tune in next Saturday at 10:30 a.m. for another edition of Education Matters. This is your host, Duane Olson, thanking you for being with us today.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archive programs are available on our website, WGTD.org, and you're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Mount Pleasant Police Department is accepting applications for the 2018 Citizen Police Academy. It's a 12-week program and runs September 11th through November 27th, Tuesday evenings from 6 to 9, and is limited to 20 participants. Visit mountpleasantwi.gov.
Support for WGTD comes from Classic Violins, highlighting performances by violinist Martin Lopez live from the Kenosha Harbor Market August 18th. Lopez is considered a prodigy. He even performed for Pope John Paul II. Watch the performance on Facebook.com/WGTDFM.
Support for WGTD comes from Piasecki Althouse, hosting Grief Share, a support group program for adults grieving the death of someone close, running every Wednesday from July 25th through October 17th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. To register, call 658-4101.
Supporting WGTD is the Bristol Renaissance Fair, carrying you back to 16th century England with huge turkey legs, ale, wine, feasting, and nonstop entertainment on 13 stages and in the village streets. Open Saturdays and Sundays through Labor Day. Online at renfair.com.
Support comes from